chapter 13, verse number 8. And I'm getting more and more dependent, unfortunately, on my glasses. I use them during Sunday school. I have yet to have to use them while I was preaching, and I'm holding on to that with everything I got. You understand? I don't want to have to use them when I preach. I know the day's coming. I know it is. So if y'all see me backing up a little bit, it might be that I'm trying to read the words on the page. That may be what it is. Hebrews 13, verse 8, the Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. That's a good place to say amen right there. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we come to you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, I really am thankful that we're able to be here today. We're not trying to be foolish. We're not trying to be dumb about it. We're not saying it in serious. But well, Lord, we're just trying to get on with our lives and trust you to take care of us. And God, I know you're able to do it. I pray you'd watch over everybody that's here in this building today, and I pray you'd watch over everybody that's a part of our church family. Lord, we don't want anybody to be sick. We don't want anybody to be sick with this virus or anything else for that matter. We ask, Lord, for your help, for your protection, and for anybody that is sick, in whatever way they're sick, we pray for their healing today. We pray you'd touch them. We know that you are able, that you are able, that you are the great physician, that you can heal any sickness. I pray, Lord, that you would give each one of us your peace that passeth all understanding to keep our hearts and minds. Lord, help us not to be controlled by fear. Help us to walk by faith. Give us your strength, your grace, your help. Help me now, Lord, as I try to preach. Lord, help me to say what I believe you've put on my heart. I pray for clarity of thought and speech and liberty. And Lord, give us all ears to hear what you have for us. And God, most of all, I pray that you'd help us to apply it to our lives. And we'll thank you and praise you for this. And we ask it now in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. The title for the message is Certainty for Uncertain Times. Certainty for Uncertain Times. In the past few months, we've seen a lot of change. Now, some of this change has been and will be temporary, while some of it could be permanent. I don't know, but it could be. It is possible that we may never 100% completely get back to what we deemed normal. But from my perspective, and you may not agree, but from my perspective, that's not all bad. Because to be honest with you, there were some things about our normal that really wasn't all that good. But be that as it may, we have seen a lot of change, and this change happened fairly fast. In a short amount of time, our daily, weekly, and even monthly plans and routines were disheveled and thrown into disarray. Businesses, schools, recreation facilities, entertainment venues, restaurants, and even churches closed their doors. And the ones that didn't close had to make some major modifications in order to continue to function. Our economy that was doing wonderful, better than it had ever done, was in great shape, has taken a major hit. Workers and businesses were divided up into essential and non-essential. And I just want to go on record and here again, you may not agree with me, and that's all right. It's America. It's a free country. I did not approve of people anywhere putting churches in the non-essential category. I did not approve of that at all. But I read something this week that I thought was really good, and that's, I don't normally have my phone up here, but I brought it today. I want to read this to you. It's good food for thought. It says, Christians, before you criticize the government putting the church into non-essential business, ask yourself first, did you do the same as a Christian? Did you treat the church as non-essential in your life? Did you skip services? That gets down to where the rubber meets the road, doesn't it? You know, one thing I noticed, I'm not trying to hurt feelings. It may not even apply to anybody in this building here today, but some of the people that I have heard complain the most about wanting to get back to church were people that weren't faithful to church before any of this happened. Amen. If church meant so much to you, why weren't you faithful to start with? I guess would be my question there. But anyway, back to this. Did you skip services? Did you come 10 minutes late or perhaps 30 minutes late? Did you put church after your job, your big client meeting, your family road trip? Did you treat the worship service nothing more than a music concert or entertainment? Did you listen to sermons no different than self-help psychology? Don't be silly. We as Christians have long treated church as non-essential. And that's why the world sees through our hypocrisy. That was sent to me this week, and I read it, and I thought, that's really good. It really is. But back to the message, these workers and businesses across the land were divided into essential and non-essential. Privileges, liberties, things, quite frankly, that we've taken for granted came to a screeching halt. And all of us in various ways have had to do things differently. And all of this change has caused a myriad of emotions. There are people who are scared to death. They're full of fear. They're full of worry. They're full of doubt and uneasiness. They're stressed out. They're bitter. All sorts of anxiety in their life. And some of this is because people have chose, and that's exactly what it is, it's a choice. They have chose to let the news media become their God and their authority. They hone in on that television or on their phone to every single thing that doctors and politicians and news media outlets say about all this stuff that's going on, and they're scared absolutely to death. I'm going to say something here. This, again, is not intended to hurt anybody's feelings, but if you are buying into every single thing that you're being told by every doctor and every politician, every person in the news media, you are a very simple-minded, silly person. You really are. You need to grow up spiritually. You really do. You need to get a spiritual life if that has become your authority and your God. Your authority is no doctor in this land. You understand? And those people do not know everything. And a lot of it is just to instill fear in the hearts of the people here in the United States of America. Consequently, it's work. It's work. People are scared to death all over. They're full of worry and doubt and uneasiness, stress, anxiety. Some people are filled with anger and frustration. They're mad. You know why some people are mad right now? Because they see the government doing things the government does not have the right to do. I'm telling you folks, in areas the government has overstepped its bounds in this whole thing right here. These governors across the land, including our governor, that said we could not have church, in the beginning they didn't say we couldn't have it, they just suggested we not have it, but it got to the point where they said we could not have it. How many of you know that was against the Constitution of the United States of America? When Governor Ivey said that, she went against the First Amendment rights that we have as citizens of this state right here and citizens of this country. And a lot of these things that have happened is the government taking more power than the government's supposed to have, and people right now are angry and frustrated because of what they see going on. A lot of emotion, a lot of skepticism. You know why some people are so skeptical? Because they're realizing now after a period of time they're being lied to by a lot of people. It goes back to what I mentioned a moment ago. Do you honestly think that every politician that opens their mouth is telling you the truth about everything? Do you really believe that? If you do, I got some oceanfront property for you, okay? Everyone that opens their mouth is not telling the truth. How many of you know the news business is just that? It's a business, and at the end of the day, they're about making money. How many of you know that? And a lot of things that's being said are just not truthful. They're not factual. They're lies, and because of that, there's a lot of skepticism. I have always been kind of a skeptical person. I really have. Probably more than I need to be. I've been accused of all sort of stuff by my son, you know, saying things about my paranoia. Look, just call me silly. You call me whatever you want me to be called. But there's very little now that I believe that comes off of a television. You hear what I'm telling you? Very little that I believe that comes off of a television. That comes out of the mouth of a politician, some doctors, things of that nature. I don't even trust most preachers anymore. I mean, that's how far gone I am, okay? I don't even trust what most preachers say about certain things. But people are tired of being lied to. So they're becoming skeptical. They're uneasy. There's unrest. I see throughout the country now the results of this thing. Y'all see it, don't you? These people rioting in the streets now and protesting. All of this stuff going on. One emotion that has definitely been caused by this is uncertainty. Uncertainty. The truth is, no one knows exactly how this situation is going to play itself out. Right? No one. No one knows exactly. Now, we have our opinions, we have our speculations, our ideas, and we may be right about some of what we think. We may be. But none of us know for a guaranteed fact how it's going to play itself out entirely. So these are definitely uncertain times, and I would say that for some of us, it's more uncertain than at any other time in our lives. Now, some of you that are older, our more seasoned members here in the church, maybe you've seen something along these lines at some point in your life. I don't know. But for me, this has been all new to me. This is stuff I've never encountered in my life. And I think the same is true for a lot of us that are still young. Amen. It's new. There's a lot of uncertainty. What I want to try to do here in just the next few minutes in this message is provide some certainty for uncertain times. And what I'm going to say will apply for this time that we're in now or any time that we might ever find ourselves in the future. Because you do realize, again, y'all are good, common sense thinking people. You understand that once this coronavirus gets behind us, it's just a matter of time before it's something else. You do realize that, don't you? I mean, if people have this mindset, if we can just get this behind us, we won't ever have any problems again, you're going to be mighty brokenhearted one day. Because according to the Bible, according to the Word of God, what should be our final authority, things are not going to get better in this world. Things will progressively get worse. There will be more and more rumors of wars. There will be more and more pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All of that stuff is prophesied. It's not going to get less and less. It's just going to get more and more as time goes on. So if we get this behind us, I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news. I'm just telling you, reality, it's going to be something else down the road we'll have to deal with. And what I'm going to say in this message will apply now, and it'll apply at any time in the future. What I'm going to do is remind you of some things that will never change. Some things that will never change. I started out the message by saying in the past few months we've seen a lot of change. We have seen a lot of change. We're going to see a whole lot more change down the road. And it's going to be change, as I mentioned, that has nothing to do with this virus. This world will constantly be changing and going in a downward direction from now until the time Jesus Christ comes back. That is reality. We have seen a lot of change. It's going to keep changing. But in the midst of all the change, now and in the future, there are things that will never change. And that's what I want to remind you of. No matter what happens now or at any time in the future, these things will not change. They are steadfast, unmovable, unwavering bedrock foundations that can provide for those of us who are saved the stability we need, regardless of what's going on in the world. And really, all of these that I'm going to talk about are referenced here in the book of Hebrews, as well as other places in the scripture. Let me say first of all, right here in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8, we see something that's never going to change, no matter what happens. And that's our Savior. Doesn't it say in verse number 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever? Isn't that what it says? Do you know that Jesus Christ, the one you profess as your Savior, is the same right now as He was a few months ago before all this mess started? Do you know that? I mean, He hadn't changed at all. He's the same right now as He's ever been. And He will forever be the same. No matter what happens, nothing will change Him. He will forever be the same. You don't get this truth unless you read the real Word of God. You know, in our modern day perversions of Scripture, what that verse says? You know what that verse says? It says He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That's what it says. Check it out for yourself. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. First of all, I would say that anybody who has any sense at all knows there's a vast difference between tomorrow and forever. Amen? You know there's a big difference between tomorrow and forever. Tomorrow is a single day. It's just a 24-hour period of time. Forever is an endless period of time. There's a big difference between tomorrow and forever. And the second thing I would ask is, what happens after tomorrow? Is Jesus going to change after tomorrow? Well, according to the true Word of God, He's not going to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. No matter what happens, your Savior will be the same. He's not going to change in His person. He is God today. He'll be God forever. He's good today. Amen? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's just as good right now as He's ever been. And guess what? He'll be good forever. He's righteous today. He will be righteous forever. He's holy today. He'll be holy forever. He's just today. He'll be just forever. Listen to me. He's faithful today. He'll be faithful forever. You know what that means? That means there'll never be a time in your life when you cannot depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is faithful now. He'll be faithful forever. He's not going to change in His person. He's not going to change in His power. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Jesus said, I have all power in heaven and earth. That means that nothing is beyond His control. Nothing at all. He's not going to change in His power. He's all-powerful right now. He'll be all-powerful forever. And I want to say this. He's not going to change in His plan. No matter what happens in this world, He's not going to change in His plan. And when I say His plan, I'm talking here about His plan for His people to reach the lost with the gospel, with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You know one thing that has bothered me the most about all this stuff is how distracted from what really matters the people of God have become during this time. How it's got us off point. Has kind of taken our mind and our focus off of what really matters. Distracted. Instead of wanting to talk about the Lord and talk about Jesus and look for opportunities to get out the gospel and tell somebody what He can do for them, all people want to talk about is the coronavirus now. Are y'all as sick of that mess as I am? That's all anybody and everybody wants to talk about. Let me remind you of this. Even though the coronavirus is in the world, every single day people are dying without Jesus Christ and going to hell. You understand that? That hasn't changed. Hell is just as real and just as hot right now as it's ever been. And every day people are dying and going to hell. And the Lord still expects us to be a witness just as much now as He did before all this stuff started. That's reality. All you got to do is go back to the book of Acts and read about the early church. How many of you understand that what the early church went through was a lot worse than anything we're going through right now? I mean, go read it. We're talking about people who were being arrested and tortured, people whose lives were being taken from them all the time simply because of their faith in the Lord Jesus. I know things are rough, but it hasn't got that bad for us yet, has it? It hasn't got that bad for us. But you go back and read it. You read what those people did in the midst of all that persecution, all of the terrible things that they went through. You know what they did not do? They did not get distracted. Even though everything was bad around them, they stayed on point, and everywhere they went, they talked to people about Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you that right now and forever, His plan is not going to change. No matter how bad things get in this world, he's still going to expect you and I to stay on point and focus on getting the gospel to people that are lost without him. That's never going to change. Our Savior. Here's the second thing I want to mention that's never going to change. Not only is our Savior not going to change, but number two, the Scriptures are not going to change. The Scriptures are not going to change. The Bible is still the Bible right now. Amen. Let me ask you this. Before any of this started, when you read the Bible, did you think then you could depend on what it said? Did you? I'm assuming that you read your Bible. If you read your Bible before all this started, did at that moment, did you believe it was the Word of God and you could depend on every single thing that it said? It hadn't changed. The Scriptures have not changed. Things might have changed, but the Bible's still the same. It's never going to change. In Psalm 119, verse number 89, the Bible says, "Forever, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." It will never change. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, the Bible says, "The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever." Jesus said this. He said, "Heaven and earth will pass away." Y'all know that, don't you? One day this whole thing, heaven and earth, is going to be gone. It's going to pass away. But he said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." His word will endure throughout all time and eternity. It will never change. It will never change what it is. It is the infallible, inerrant, inspired, incorruptible Word of God. It will never be anything less than that. That's what it is now, and that's what it will forever be. It will never change what it says. It still says the same thing right now that it's always said. And it will never change. The Bible says right now, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory." Isn't that what it says? It's going to say that forever, right? It's going to say that forever. It says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," right now. It's going to say that forever, isn't it? It says, "We know that all things work together for good." All things work together for good. Does that mean some things or everything? All things. Listen, I'm not God, so I can't explain it all to you. I don't know how, but this is what I know based on the Bible. I know that based on the Bible, some way God is going to work all of this mess together for good. That's what I know. How do I know that? Why do I have that certainty that all of this is going to be worked together for good? How do I have that certainty? Because that's what's written down in the Bible. All things work together for good. That's what it says now. That's what it says later on. Listen, people are going through some difficult times. You may go through something in the future in your life that makes this seem like absolutely nothing. I'm telling you the God's truth. Y'all realize none of us have any idea what's going to happen in our lives before we get out of this world, do we? This may be nothing compared to a valley you walk through down the road somewhere. It may be nothing. But I want you to understand that whatever you go through in the future, the Word of God will forever be the same. It will never change, and you can always depend on what it says. You can always count on the truth that it gives. It is true without error, and it will never change. Man, I really do, I just love to break open the Bible and read the Word of God. It is so wonderful to turn off the TV, to put down my phone, to not listen to anything or anybody but God. What an experience that is. Do you know that as saved people, we have that privilege and that opportunity every day of our life? People say, "I just love to hear from God." I hear people say that all the time. "I just wish the Lord would speak to me. I just wish God would say something to me." Do you realize that he can speak to you every single day of your life if you want to? What people mean when they say that is, I just want God to speak audibly from heaven, because we've turned into a bunch of lazy bums that don't want to have to do anything. We want God to just crack open the heavens and speak down audibly to us so that we don't have to take the time to sit down and read the Bible. If you really, truly, genuinely want to hear from God, you can hear from God every day of your life. Every day. All you got to do is turn off your TV, and put down your phone, and get away from all the stuff that's going on. Get away from your husband. Get away from your wife. Get away from your children. Get away from your dogs. Get away from your cats. Get away from your job. Get away from everything, and get alone with God in the Bible, and I promise you, he'll speak to you. And you'll be absolutely amazed at the peace that will flood your heart, the joy that will flood your soul, how cleared up some of this fog will be if you'll just listen to God. His word will never change. Number three, let me tell you something else not going to change. No matter what happens, my Savior's not going to change. The scriptures are not going to change. And number three, my salvation is not going to change. Are you saved today? Glad to know a few of you are. If the only people that said amen are saved, we got a lot of lost people here this morning. You saved this morning? Amen. Let me remind you of a truth that ought to do you a whole lot of good. You will never at any point be any more or less saved than you are right now. There's nothing that can take your salvation from you. It will never change. You are saved to the uttermost according to the word of God. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 9. It says that the Lord Jesus Christ, listen now, is the author of eternal salvation. Eternal salvation. Our salvation is not a temporary salvation, it's an eternal salvation. We are saved to the uttermost because of the grace of God. The Bible declares over and over that we have eternal, everlasting life, and there's nothing that will ever change that. Here's what I understand. I understand that I could lose every single thing I have, every earthly possession that I have. I could. You realize that? Most of us don't think that way, but we could. You could have a fire come through and burn your home up and your vehicles up, and just a few hours' time lose everything you own in this world down here. Just be gone. You could lose all of the people that are in your life. Every one of them could be gone. Every earthly treasure could be gone. But you know what you will never lose? You will never lose your salvation. That ought to do you a little bit of good this morning. Just to know that there's nothing and no one that can take your salvation from you. If you're saved now, 10 years from now, you'll still be saved. 1,000 years from now, you'll still be saved. 1,000,000 years from now, you'll still be saved. For all eternity, you'll be saved, and nothing will ever change that. I think about Job in the Bible. Look at all the stuff that fella lost. In a day's time. When you think it can't happen to you, it happened to him. It happens to people all the time. They lose their earthly possession. But look at all the stuff Job lost. You know what he did not lose in all that? One thing he didn't lose that he might have wished at one point he had was his wife. Somebody said one time the devil knew what he was doing, leaving Job's wife behind. Y'all familiar with the story? What kind of woman she was? Look at all the stuff Job lost, his children, his animals, his health, the support of his wife. He lost it all. You know what he never lost? His relationship with the Lord. He did not lose. You may lose it all, but you'll never lose your salvation. God may grant the devil at some point in your life permission, like he did in Job's life, to take every earthly treasure you have, including your own health. But the devil cannot have your soul. You are saved and you are secure, and for all eternity, it will never be any different. Your salvation will never change. And last of all, let me say this. Your Savior will never change. The Scripture will never change. Your salvation will never change. And I want to say last of all that the sufficiency of the blood of Jesus Christ will never change. Will never change. One thing you see when you read the book of Hebrews is how the writer of Hebrews tries again and again to convince these people that the blood of Jesus Christ is superior to all of the blood of their bulls and goats. He wants them to understand that his blood is all that was needed. No more sacrifices were needed. His blood was completely sufficient. And it was sufficient not just to cover their sins. That's all those sacrifices of the Old Testament did, was cover the sins of the people. But Hebrews says that the blood of Jesus Christ takes away sin. It doesn't just cover it, it takes it away. That means it's gone for good, it's gone forever. And that's something he wanted those people to understand. And that's the truth of the Bible, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. The Bible says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The day you accepted Christ as your Savior, his blood was sufficient to take away every sin, every one. You know what hasn't changed? The sufficiency of the blood of Jesus Christ. It washed your sins away and gave you a relationship with God that will never change. You're saved forever because of the sufficiency of the blood of Jesus Christ. Never change. My fellowship may change. Oftentimes it does. But even then, the blood of Jesus Christ is still sufficient. Read 1 John chapter 1 sometime and notice there the whole context of that chapter is fellowship. That's what the whole thing's about. 1 John chapter 1. And in that passage on fellowship, John says that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. When I get out of fellowship with the Lord because of my sin, which is what happens, the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient when I come back in confession to cleanse me of that sin and restore my fellowship with the Lord. Here's what I want you to understand as I close. If you're here today and you're lost, maybe you're not. Maybe everybody in here is saved. I don't know. If you're here today and you're lost, I don't want you to let all this stuff that's going on out here blind you to the greatest need you have in your life. The greatest need you have in your life right now is not to avoid the coronavirus. The greatest need you have in your life right now is to be saved so you don't burn in hell when you die. That's what you need to be concerned about more than anything else. And I want you to know that his blood is still sufficient to save sinners. You came in here lost, you can go out of here saved. Washed in the blood of Jesus, all your sins gone and taken away forever. You can have that eternal salvation that will never change. And I'll say to those of us that are saved, if you have sin in your life, if you've come in here this morning, you got sin in your life and you know your fellowship is not right with God, hey, it happens. It happens to all of us, doesn't it? I mean, can we be real this morning and admit that sometimes our fellowship with God's not like what it needs to be? If you come in here this morning and you've let something get between you and your Savior and your fellowship's not what it needs to be, your focus has got off of Him and you're not where you need to be, listen to me. The blood of Jesus Christ is still sufficient to restore your fellowship with the Lord. If you'll confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that will never change. His blood will forever be sufficient. Let's bow our heads for prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Scott if he would to come, my wife to come. And I think what I want us to do